set up and ready now. Is the camera on, Dave? As Dave turns the camera on, I wanted to thank those that are still watching online. I know that there are a number of you from our church that are still faithfully watching. And I don't know all of you that are online. I do know one person that watches online faithfully, and that's my grandma. So she tells me every single week. So, hi, Grandma. Nice to see you. I guess she watches and she blows kisses to the camera as she watches me on TV. So it's awesome. It's great to see that. The words I, me, mine, give me that, or I want that. If you have little kids, some of the parents are already smiling. If you have little kids, those are words that are probably very familiar in your house. They're words that that as we raise children, our kids learn that it's not all about mine, or not everything is mine, or I can't always have that if I want that. And as we hear kids say those words or act out in those ways, we start to think, man, someone needs to teach those kids a lesson. Someone needs to teach those kids that it's not all about themselves. It's not all about what they want or what they can have. And as we grow up, we use very similar words to talk about ourselves. Or to maybe look at our lives as adults, we maybe use the terms self-esteem, self-help, or self-improvement. We're like, are those really the same? They are, because they are all about us. They're common words and common phrases we use in our society. And it really becomes this balance between humility and pride. Bryce is going to pull up a quick slide on the screen. It's going to take him a second to get there, hopefully. And as we look at our passage today, we're going to see this balance between humility and pride and what that looks like. If we look on the screen, we see where pride focuses on the failures of others, where humility realizes how far they fall short and understands their need to grow. Pride, self-righteous, overly critical, good at finding faults. Humility, compassionate and forgiving. Pride looks at their life through the telescope. I thought this one was really good. Looks at their life through a telescope, where looks at other people's lives through a microscope, where humility looks to find the best in others. Pride looks down on others for being less spiritual than them or not as spiritual as them, where humility strives to help others grow and mature in Christ. I stole some of those contrasts from multiple websites this week, but I thought it was really, really a great picture of looking at this contrast between humility and pride. Humility. We would all say as Christians that we need to be more humble. We need to walk in a way that's more humble, or we need to try to be more humble. And I want to start with saying humility is not something that happens by trying to be more humble. And we're going to see that in our passage today. Humility happens as we put on the mind of Christ and as we look and strive to be more like Christ. In the same way, we don't become less prideful by focusing on becoming less prideful. We become less prideful as we look more like Jesus, and as we walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling that he has on our life, and as we put on the mindset of Christ. We're going to pray, and then if you would turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, but let's pray first. Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, thank you for your words. Lord, as we read this passage and as we look to study it and as we look to apply it to our lives, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work and move in us. Lord, that we would look more like Jesus today. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, if there's any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make your joy complete, being like-minded, make my joy complete, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to take advantage of. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue would acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. As we look and start in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, we have this Paul, as he's talking to the church, he's talking to these Christians, he gives them this therefore if. And it's, as we look, we're going to see four if statements. And as he says, he goes, starts with if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. This if is not a question. This if is not like, if it's possible, it's more telling us because there is. So as we read this, as we read if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if we're going to look at this and we're going to look at it in what the Greek is saying a little bit, we see where it says because there's encouragement from being united with Christ, because there's common sharing in his Spirit, because of his tenderness and compassion, and because of this live in humility as a Christian. Therefore, if there's any encouragement from being united with Christ, that's the first one. I think it's so important as we look at this that we should be encouraged by what Jesus did on the cross for us. We should be able to find encouragement that we are saved from our sins, and God did that for us. And now, because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, we're united with Christ. Because of the comfort from his love. We all probably have felt the comfort from being around somebody who loves us, from being around somebody who cares for us, being around somebody who's putting our needs above their own. And we see that in Jesus. If there's any comfort from his love, he loved us so much that he gave his life for us. He loved us so much that he came to earth and died on the cross in our place. If there's any common sharing in the Spirit, because of his death, burial, and resurrection, the Holy Spirit has now come and lives inside of us. And as Christians, we have unity within the Spirit. The Spirit that lives inside of me lives inside of you and lives inside of each other. And it unites us together. And we share in that same Spirit. Because of the tenderness and compassion, or if there's any tenderness and compassion, as Christians, we should live lives that are known for being tenderness or tender and compassionate towards each other. That we would be people that would place other people's needs above ourselves. And Paul starts out, he says, these things should be in you. Because of what Christ has done and because of living for him and with him, these things should show in your life because of what he's done. And then in verse 2, he says, then make my joy complete, being like-minded. As a minister, as Paul's talking to this church, he's talking to this church that he loves. He's talking to this church that he cared for, that he planted, that he has a deep love for. And he says, make my joy complete. He says, let me see you guys live this out. Let me see you guys walk in a manner worthy of the calling that Christ has on your life. As a minister, as a pastor, as someone that disciples others, It's one of the greatest joys. If you ask any minister, one of the greatest joys is watching people in their church walk in a manner that's worthy of Christ. And that's what Paul's saying here. He's like, church that I love, make my joy complete by loving each other, by caring for each other, by being united with each other, by sharing in the common spirit of each other. And then Paul goes on in verse 2. He says, this is how you'll make my joy complete, he says, by being like-minded. As a church, as people, just as people, it's sometimes difficult to be like-minded. Just even in a household, it's difficult to be like-minded. And Paul says, in the church, be like-minded. This means that we should live in agreement with each other more than we live in disagreement with each other. This means that we should live in a way where because I'm placing my needs above somebody else's, that we live in agreement with each other, that we care for each other. Some of you laugh because we understand how tough this can be. And Paul gives this direction. He says, this is the point here. Be like-minded. Agree with each other. Live in unity with each other. And then he says, the next is that you should have the same love. Have the same love. If you're going to make his joy complete, have the same love. What does this mean? What does this mean for the church? Well, if we look at what Jesus says, he says that we're supposed to love God and we're supposed to love others. He gives a very simple command to us. It's very simple, but very profound, very difficult. And he says, have the same love. Love God. Have a love for Christ. Have a love for his word. Have a love for what he's done for us. And then because of that love, love and care for each other. Love and care for each other's needs. Lift up each other's needs. Love the people that are around you. If you're going to make his joy complete, he says, make my joy complete by actually loving each other. Have the same love. And then he says, by being one in spirit and one in mind. If we're going to make his joy complete, or if this church is going to make his joy complete, we should be one in spirit and one in mind. This means that we're listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we're believers, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. The Holy Spirit is not only a guide, but he's there to glorify Christ Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit desires to glorify Christ Jesus, it means that as we walk in a manner worthy of Christ Jesus now, we are glorifying God also. And we are submitting to him, being united together. Now, imagine this, a group of Christians that are walking together in one spirit. A group of Christians that are walking together desiring to submit to Christ and be of one mind. Imagine what that does to the world around you. Imagine what that does to the non-Christians that we encounter or that we are placed around. Paul, he says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, and being of one spirit and of one mind. Psalms 113, verse 1, it says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. This really is the point. If you're taking notes, actually that's what I titled it in my notes, is the point. That we would live together in unity with each other. The problem is what we find next. The problem is what we see next. And as we look at verse 3, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others better than yourselves. The problem. So if we are going to live in humility with each other as a church, the point is that we are like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and one mind. The problem is that we have selfish ambition and vain conceit. The problem is that we struggle with this side more than we struggle with this side. The problem is that we struggle with pride, selfish ambition, wanting myself or my needs taken care of before somebody else's. Romans chapter 12, verse 16, it says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Do not be willing to associate, but be willing to associate with people with low position. Do not be conceited. So the problem is that we have this pride. We have this pride built up in our lives, and we want to take care of ourselves before we think of others. And then it says a vain conceit, and we get this picture of looking in the mirror and trying to figure out how to make ourselves look more beautiful. I have this problem every morning, actually, and it doesn't ever work. It doesn't ever happen. I never get more pretty, but we get this picture of I'm looking in the mirror and I'm trying to make myself look better. I'm trying to make myself look or act or seem better than I really am. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. The problem is our pride gets in the way. In Mark, and it's in a couple of the Gospels, we have this story or this account where the disciples are on the road, they're walking and they're with Jesus and they're arguing. They're arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. It would be so awesome to have been like right behind the disciples as they were arguing about it. I wouldn't want to be part of the disciples, but probably if we're honest with ourselves, we would have been arguing right along with them. And the disciples are arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Who's gonna be able to sit right next to Jesus or maybe at his feet? And who's Jesus gonna lift up to be the greatest? And Jesus, it says here that Jesus ignored him as they were arguing. So he's like, these kids are arguing behind him. Jesus is walking, and I'm sure he's like, come on, guys. Like, it's not really that important. Like, really, you're with Jesus right now. You're with God here in the flesh. Just walk with me. And in verse 35 of this account in Mark, it says that Jesus sat down. And he sat down for a meal with them, and he says to them that if they want to be the greatest, then they need to become a servant. And it probably blows the disciples away. The disciples are sitting there and like, man, Jesus, he heard us. He heard us arguing. He heard us talking about that. How embarrassing. We're with God, and we were just arguing about like who was going to be the best, and how embarrassing he caught us. And now Jesus calls him out. He says, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, then you have to be a servant. The problem with becoming a servant is our own pride gets in the way. The problem with being humble is our own pride gets in the way. Looking at verse 4, it says, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. This becomes a problem in our life. We are so good at being vainly conceit. We're so good at looking out for our own selves. Some of that might just be who we are as humans. Some of that's our culture that we live in. We live in a society that tells us to take care of ourselves more than we should take care of others. We live in a society that says it's all about you. We live in a society that tells us it doesn't matter who you step on to get to the top as long as you get to the top. And that's a problem. This problem is pride. And if we're going to live in humility, we have to follow the path that's laid out here. That's the third point here. So we have the point, the problem, and now the path. And we see this looking into verse 5. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So Paul tells the church, you have a problem with pride. You have a problem with looking out for your own interests and not for the interests of others. And if you're really going to be like-minded and you're going to be of the same love and of the same spirit, then this is how you're supposed to live. And then he becomes very practical and he says, the way you're going to do this is that you're going to live like Jesus. And we probably look at that and we're like, well, can we get a little more detailed? Can we get a little more detailed? Can we make it a little easier? I think of when I was growing up, those WWJD bracelets were super popular, probably. Does anybody have one on? Thought maybe Braden back there would have one on or something. They're super popular, or they used to be. And we would say that to each other, well, WWJD, what would Jesus do? But then we would never look into it any further. And if we stopped here in this passage, we could see where Paul says, you have a problem with pride, you look out for your own interests, and that's causing you not to be humble because you don't have the mindset of Christ, but just have the mindset of Christ. What's awesome here is then Paul unpacks it for us. He unpacks what the mindset of Christ is, or how in our relationships with one another we have the same mindset of Christ. Let's look at these together. Verse 6, it says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to his own advantage. Jesus was the very nature God. He is God. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. All things that were created through him. We see that in Genesis. He is God. And it says here that Jesus did not consider equality with God something to his own advantage. In other passages, in other translations, it says that he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to hold on to. It's this picture of Jesus did not feel like he had to grab on to godhood and cling to it, but instead he let go. And he came to earth. He did not consider equality with God something to his own advantage. He didn't hold on to it. And in verse 7, it says, rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. It says, instead of hanging on to his godhood, he came to earth. He came to earth. He made himself nothing. It actually... this gives us the picture of that he emptied himself. He emptied his position in heaven to come to earth. He left his place in heaven for us. And it says, being the very nature a servant. In John 13, Jesus was sitting down with his disciples, and they were going to celebrate the Passover together. And as they get ready to celebrate the Passover, Jesus pulls out and he grabs a towel and he wraps it around his waist. And he sits down at the disciples' feet and he washes their feet. He lowers himself to a servant. In this culture, foot washing would have been done for the lowest servant would have done that. The lowest servant in a household would have washed somebody else's feet. And Jesus, God, the very nature of God, sits down at the disciples' feet and he washes them and he cares for them and he humbled himself to that point. He made himself a servant, being made in human likeness. It's important for us to note that when Jesus left his place in heaven, he did not cease being God. He was still God. I like to think of it, and some of you might laugh, that he's God in the bod. And Stacy laughed at that, and it was a small group joke that we had, but Jesus is God in the body. He's God in human flesh, and he's still 100% God and still 100% man, but he humbles himself, and he takes the form of a servant. In verse 8, it says, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself, being obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus, born as a human, born as a man. He was born not into royalty, but he was born into a poor family. He was born to the Virgin Mary. And on his birth, he was placed in a feeding trough. He was placed in a place where they didn't even have a crib for him. Placed in a feeding trough. God, in human likeness, in the appearance of a man, lowered himself. And he didn't, I find it amazing that he didn't lower himself. He could have chosen to come in as royalty. He could have chosen to come in as a conquering king, but he instead came as a servant. He came as a servant. He humbled himself. He became God in the bod. And he probably, or he probably, as he grew up, he probably took over his father's business. He took over his earthly father's business, so he learned to live the life of a working man, of a carpenter. Jesus also had to be obedient to his parents, because we know that he lived a perfect life. And a young boy doesn't live a perfect life without being obedient to his parents, right, Bryce? Yeah. And so we know Jesus did these things. He was obedient. But not only was he just obedient in his earthly life here, he was obedient to the point of being willing to die on the cross for our sins. He was willing and humbled. He humbled himself, being obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus came to earth, lived a human life, and then had the worst possible death you could imagine. And he did that for us. He did that in our place. And he said, and Peter gives this as an example to us. Or sorry, Paul gives this to an example to us, that Jesus humbled himself. That Jesus humbled himself even to the point that he died on the cross for our sins. This path to humility, this path of putting on the mindset of Christ Jesus. What an amazingly hard thing to do. What an amazingly tough task we have, but so necessary. In verse 9, it says, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. God exalted him to the highest place. Because of his obedience, God has restored him to the highest place, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's given the name above every name. He's given the name of Jesus Christ. And in verse 10, it says that every knee on heaven and on earth should bow before him. I find this interesting as we look here. We think every name is going to bow before him. If we're honest and we take an honest look at our lives and we take an honest look at the people around us, we know of people that haven't bowed before the name of Jesus. We know of people that aren't bowing before the name of Jesus. But in the end, they will bow before the name of Jesus, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the end, when Jesus returns, every person will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It says that every knee would bow on heaven and on earth. Whenever I think of this bowing, I think of when Jasmine and I were dating. When Jasmine and I were dating, we got to the point where we wanted to get married, and we were excited about getting married. And we went to our family, and we said, hey, we want to get married. What do you guys think? And for the most part, they said, yeah, go for it. So after we got to the point of asking our family and getting the approval of Jasmine's grandparents, we went out and bought a ring. And immediately after buying the ring, we rushed to the beach. And on the beach, as we're kind of playing around, all of a sudden I got down on one knee. And I got down on one knee and I lowered myself to her. I humbled myself to her and I said, will you be my wife? Will you marry me? I'm going to put my needs above yours. I'm going to care for you. And here it says that every knee on heaven and on earth will bow before Christ. That we will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. My question is, are we doing this today? Are we doing this now? Do we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord? Do we acknowledge that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And if you do, praise God. If you do, amen. If you haven't, then make today the day where you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and give your life to him. But if you do, if you call yourself a Christian and you desire to walk with Christ, are you really bowing before him every day? Are we really humbling ourselves before him every day? Or are we still kind of walking in pride? Are we still kind of walking in what's going to make us feel good? My hope today is that we would, in humility, bow before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and have the the mindset of Christ Jesus. How do we practically do this as Christians? It's so nice to say that we bow before Christ, that we bow before the King of Kings, that we are going to submit to him, or that we are going to put on the mindset of a Christian. And I think I have two statements here. First is that we become servants. If we are going to have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, we become servants. Who can you serve today? Who can you serve? Whose needs can you place above your own? If you're married, that's a good first place to start. If you have kids, that's the next great place to start. If you have a job, that's another great place to start. It's really, this servanthood is really about changing our mindset and about thinking of other people's needs better than ourselves. Why? Why is servanthood so difficult? Servanthood is so difficult because of our pride, because of our wanting to place our needs above other people's. If we are going to walk in humility and we're going to walk and put on the mindset of Christ Jesus, we must be servants. We have to serve others. We have to serve and care for other people. And then the next is to be obedient. That's kind of like Paul saying here, if you're gonna walk in a manner worthy of Christ, and you're gonna be like-minded and of the same love and of the same spirit, just to be like Jesus. But he says this, to be obedient. When we think of obedience, obedience isn't easy. Obedience is a struggle. Obedience is something that we have to every day say, I'm gonna do it your way, God. As we probably, if you think back to growing up, depending on your household, every day, I know for me, I was a little rebellious, but every day I had to say, okay, I'm going to do it the way my dad asked me to do it, or I'm going to do it the way my mom asked me to do it. And I had to be obedient. I had to actually take on the mindset of Christ Jesus and be obedient. I had to remember to do that every day. And I think it's the same thing for us. We have to, if we're going to be obedient and we're going to put on the mindset of Christ Jesus, we have to take on the mindset every single day that we are going to be obedient, that we are going to walk in obedience. Okay, God, you've asked me to do it. Now I'm going to do it. You asked me to live in a certain way. Now I'm going to live in that certain way. You've asked me to place other people's needs above myself. Then I'm going to do it. I'm going to choose to. And what's so important about this walking in obedience, this obedience isn't something that happens just because I've decided to. This obedience is because I am submitting to the mindset of Christ Jesus and allowing God to work in my heart, and allowing God to work in my lives. As Twain Heart Bible Church, it's my hope and my prayer that we would be Christians that would understand the point of humility, that we would be like-minded, that we would have the same love with each other as we walked as Christian walked together, that we would be of one spirit, and that we would set aside our pride and we would put on the mindset of Christ Jesus, that we would be servants that are obedient to the calling that God has on our lives. I'm going to pray for us. Father, we love you. Father, we come to you saying that it's hard. Father, we come to you saying that it's so difficult to walk as you've called us to walk in humility, Lord. Father, we pray that you would strengthen us through your Spirit. Lord, that you would help us to place on the mind of Christ. Lord, that we would have the same mindset as your Son. Lord, help us to walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling you have on our lives, Lord, that we would be servants and that we would be obedient. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.